Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
And welcome to another episode of Wireless Connections here in the Wake Forest studios. I'm glad to have our host of this show, Larry Stefan, here in the studio with us from the Wireless Research Center. Hello, Larry.
How are you doing today, Ann?
I'm doing great.
Nice to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. We also have Reed Powell there, producing the show behind the scenes here. How you doing, Reed?
I am doing so great, Ann.
Reed's all excited about fall.
Very excited,
He is. He keeps asking people, what do you like about fall?
Please come, cool weather.
Yes, exactly. So, Larry, we're really excited about what we're going to talk about in the studio today. We've had last three or four episodes on the show. We've focused on Verizon Wireless and the DNA of the Internet of Things. And we're going to take this one step further today, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to have a guest from the city of Raleigh, Bianca Howard, and she will talk about her big belly garbage can. And that's a perfect path to talking about the entire application of an Internet of Things device, which is device, network, and application, because this is a fully vertically integrated device that the city of Raleigh has put on the streets. So
that's going to be great fun. And who else do we have in the studio?
Oh, Mark Sherline is here from Verizon. Thank you for showing up, Mark. A little bit of last-minute organizational stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Always good to have the carrier in the house.
And then we have my long-term friend, I guess, at this point, so Matthew Davis from Step Leader, also from NC State, as I originally met him in the MBA program, and with his original startup, Zeke. I'm not sure he wants me to bring that back up, but that's okay.
We have an entrepreneur in the house, huh?
That's Matt, right. Matt has quite an entrepreneurial passion, and he is also the co-hosting partner with the Wireless Research Center of the Riot that we are doing at 9:30, which is the September 30th, not at 9:30 tonight, but from 6 to 9 p.m. at HQ Raleigh. And Step Lead and Wireless Center are going to be the host. We have corporate sponsorship from Verizon, from IBM, and then we have two design partners, Device Solutions and Connected Development, coming on and presenting their skills to help people design products. And then we have the City of Raleigh, the Town of Wake Forest, and Blackstone as sponsors as well. So we thank all the people for supporting the Riot, and it looks like we have a great attendance at this point.
We do.
Matt, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
We're up to, well, we're on pace to hit 100 attendees for the upcoming Riot.
And that'll max us out for space-wise.
That will, yeah. That'll
right
be
there
max
at the
capacity.
HQ.
This will be our second event that we're hosting. The first one was back in June, so we're running about every 3 months right now. First one exceeded our expectations, had a great turnout, great speakers, and we'll look to continue that.
Tell us about the kind of person who might want to attend the Riot. And again, that's Raleigh Internet of Things.
We're
not really having a riot. It should be a blast, but
that's
we're not having a riot.
That's right. It's anyone and everyone who has an interest in the Internet of Things. So it's everyone from the developers to the engineers. We had a lot of turnout from the big players in the community, Red Hat and Cisco, all the way down to the guy with an idea. It runs the gamut.
And the gal, too.
That's right.
isn't guy generic?
Well, don't ask the guy. I don't think he wants to be generic.
Person,
right. Okay.
Well, let's have an example here today. I want to talk for a little while with Bianca Howard, if I may, from the city of Raleigh. And Mark, by the way, we didn't get your voice on the air, so chime in any time here and give us some Verizon Wireless perspective.
No, absolutely, okay. Absolutely. I'll participate when it's my turn.
Excellent, <All right>. Great. Bianca, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. So your role is with the City of Raleigh as the Community Education Specialist for the Solid Waste Services Group, right?
That's right.
So what it does a community education specialist do? Let's just start with what your day is like.
And I have a great job. I describe my job as I talk to anyone who will listen about their trash and where it goes.
Oh, nice. You talk trash.
I do. I've been talking trash for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. So we actually invited you to be on the show today because of some really interesting things that Raleigh is doing. Tell me about this big belly. What's a big belly?
All right. Well, a big belly is a solar-powered trash can. And in Raleigh, we have more than 45 of them, and they're a clean way to collect trash and recycling in our downtown areas.
So they're all downtown?
Well, many of them are downtown. We also have them along Hillsborough Street.
Oh, okay. So it's... Describe it for us. Paint a picture of what this looks like.
It looks kind of like an oversized mailbox. If you were to walk up to it, it just looks like a large black box with some nice graphics on the side. But if you were to walk a little bit closer, you would see that one side of it has a nice handle where you can put in trash. No letters. Your mail is not going to get delivered. You put it in a big belly. But on one side, you can put in trash. And on right next to it, completely adjacent, there is a section where you can recycle paper, glass, plastic, in metal.
All in one. So what is it that makes this unique besides just being a two-sided trash can?
It's really the technology that makes it so unique. Big Belly started out as a solar-powered trash can. I think they were invented in the Boston area, and later they added recycling. So what it does is the trash can side actually compacts to save space, meaning more can get fit in before it needs to be emptied. And it sends a signal to our driver so he knows when the can needs to be emptied. So it is a smart trash can.
Wow. A smart trash can.
Yes. It is a trash can that can send email. Well, thanks to a little bit of help.
There you go.
Okay. I'm having a little hard time wrapping my head around this. So what is this doing for us to have a smart trash can?
Well, it's done a lot of things. For people who enjoy visiting downtown Raleigh, perhaps for events, it makes downtown look a lot neater. We were able to replace a lot of our old trash cans, which were open at the top. They were nasty. You'd see bees and flies mm-hmm. around them. And instead, we have these nice contained trash cans. So it looks a lot neater. And what people maybe who aren't in solid waste don't realize is that it also saves the city a lot of time and money. Before, our driver who serviced the downtown trash cans, he calls them street cans, he would have to check every can twice a day, mm-hmm. 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. Now he goes to each can when it needs to be serviced. That means the busiest cans, like the ones on City Plaza, get serviced perhaps 3 times a week. But cans that might not get as much attention might be serviced only once every couple of months. So he can really use his time better. And we don't waste time and tie up traffic by going to empty cans that don't need to be emptied.
Wow, that's really cool. So, Mark, is this a demonstration of the kinds of things we've been talking about this whole time?
So, I think it's one of the best possible examples that we could have come up with because, you know, it's got a lot of different benefits. You look at it, you know, going from a $1,000 garbage can to a $5,000 garbage can. And I've talked to a couple municipalities who haven't necessarily been as forward-thinking yet as Raleigh has. They aren't seeing the value necessarily, even when we talk about it in dollars of the fuel for a large vehicle like that's probably getting, 4 miles of the gallon, mm-hmm. maybe five. The time, the fact that you guys don't have to hire more people and buy more trucks.
We're cutting so carbon.
There you go, carbon emissions. Definitely. All of those kinds of advantages that are both financial and image, like you point out. That's one of the intangible, you can't really put a dollar amount necessarily on not having so many bees and having nicer looking garbage cans. But those are all some of the advantages, I think, that are out there based on taking a fairly simple idea of a garbage can and applying some technology to it, both the ability to compress the garbage so you don't have to visit it as often and only visit it when it needs it because it can call home.
That's exactly right.
So, Bianca, what makes the garbage can smart?
It has sensors inside, and those sensors we're able to send signals so they know when the garbage can side is full, and they can actually communicate and send an email to our driver. And he gets an email that tells him exactly which can needs to be emptied. And then the recycling sort of talks to the garbage, and so the recycling actually sends a signal as well when it needs to be emptied. And one of the nice things it did for us is that it also enabled us to provide recycling downtown. Before this, we had just a couple of recycling containers downtown, but when we implemented the Big Belly concept, we paired the Big Belly solar trash can with a recycling unit. So we now have recycling at about 40 locations downtown.
Thank you. It's one of the things that's always bugged me is I'm walking around with my water bottle, which I already feel bad have it buy a water bottle instead of having a refillable container with me everywhere I go, and then to have to throw it away has just always bothered me. So thank you for doing that.
Mark, can you describe the wireless connectivity here?
So yeah, the way I understand the solution works is as Bianca points out, the device has the sensors in it, and the sensors are tied into a pretty simple computer that's inside, and that computer's got a cellular chip. Of course, it's on the Verizon network.
Of course.
I mean, why would you choose anyone else? So the box itself is likely going to reach out to an application server. So it uses the internet, and over the internet, it's going to talk to that application server. And that's where you go in and tell it this particular box is at this address, so that when it calls for help, it knows when to, you know, where to send the driver, dispatch the driver.
Okay.
And so that application server is going to get a signal from the box that says, hey, I'm full. And it's going to turn around and send an email to the driver. And now, does he just get the email, or does somebody help him dispatch and help him choose which box to see?
Oh, no, he gets the email. We have a gentleman named Bobby Singleton who empties them most days a week, and he gets the email. It also goes to our assistant director of operations. So on the days when Bobby's off and we have a different driver assigned, our assistant director can relay that information to him. So that's it. It's right there, and he gets his email on his phone, and he knows exactly where to go.
So he's not getting these emails while he's driving, though, right? He's planning his day surrounding these notifications.
And you're exactly right. He can schedule his time better. So he'll see that email, and then he'll, you know, might decide to, you know, when exactly to get to that can. But he's not having to drive his entire route every single day. Instead, you know, he can plan how to use his time. And he has other responsibilities, too. So he can really use his time efficiently because he knows exactly which cans, you know, need to be emptied.
Cool.
Matthew, can you possibly relate this to other riders that maybe have simple vertical applications and can see how something as simple as a garbage can now become a smart, efficient device that brings a lot more to the table than simply being a stinky old can on the side of the street?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
The way I think about this is that we're right at the beginning of all this. While the Internet of Things, the technology has existed for years and years and years, it's really as we start to see more of these consumer applications where people can see it and touch it and feel it and see the impact that it's going to have on their lives. I think it's too early for us to actually be able to pontificate on what that's going to mean for everybody. But when I think about what it's going to mean to the people coming to the Raleigh Internet of Things, having examples like this will not only spur on new development and new ideas, it's going to allow people to have those conversations that they wouldn't have had otherwise. Did you know that Raleigh is doing this? Hey, that's great. We're actually working on a project here that's similar. We're building the next generation of smart pants. Right? It's
they're called Smarty Pants.
They know when they need to be washed.
A perfect name.
Yeah, it's...
you want to copyright that?
You heard it here first.
Wearable tech's right. A new big thing. Ask Apple. Right.
Yeah, we're going to just start to build these bridges of new ideas, and the whole goal of this thing is just to bubble up creativity.
If I can add to what Matthew was saying, when you said, you know, people are learning, I think that's so true with the big bellies. Bobby has told me that when he's out there emptying them, people come up and say, hey, what are you doing? How do you know when it needs to be emptied, you know? And they see him, and they look over his shoulder as he's emptying the can. And I'm pretty sure that did not happen before, you know? Before, when you saw this skinny trash can probably overflowing with trash, as a visitor, you probably didn't want to get anywhere near that. But he's actually had people come up and ask him questions about it, because for a lot of people, they might be seeing this kind of device for the first time in Raleigh, though it's been used successfully in many cities, not just in the U.S., but around the world.
He's earned that title, sanitation engineer.
Yes.
Bianca, what was the pushback from the city of Raleigh when they first discussed using a smart garbage can?
Well, you know, it is a big investment. It's a significant investment. So we wanted to do our homework. We did our due diligence and really looked at how many cans we had out there and how much time we were spending and how much fuel, and then, you know, started to think about the emissions associated with that. So we didn't go into this lightly. And we were fortunate to do this when we still had some of the recovery funds left from the Federal Recovery Project. And we were fortunate that Big Belly had representatives who were able to talk to us about how this had worked in other cities. And we also looked carefully at where to put them. So we've implemented Big Bellies in high pedestrian traffic areas, such as Fayetteville Street and Hillsborough Street near NC State. And we've also used them in remote parts of our greenways, where before our parks personnel were making regular trips out there to empty the garbage cans, and now they can use their time better by only going out to those remote greenways and remote parts of parks when the cans tell them that they need to be emptied.
How long have they been deployed?
We kicked it off in May of 2012, so we've had about 2 years of experience now, and we like them so much that we've bought a few more. We actually just put out two new ones along Fayetteville Street, and we've got two new ones coming.
Is there a size of city where this does or does not make sense?
You know, it's really varied, Matthew. I noticed one in a park in Hartford 3 years ago when I was there for a wedding. And I just got a newspaper clipping from a friend living in Stockholm that they had put them in a park there. So I think it's not so much the size of the city as the location. So for us, we looked at the high traffic areas where we were investing a lot of time and saw an opportunity to use our time better and save fuel. And then for us, it was also the park. So thinking about that, those remote areas. So I think it's perhaps not so much the population, but, you know, looking at how you're using resources.
I think the thing that really comes to mind when I think about the smart garbage can here, the big belly garbage can here, is that the Internet of Things does not mean you need to create the next Fitbit, you know, the next home run or grand slam, right? There are so many basic vertical applications that there can be a direct return on investment without, you know, a huge marketing campaign, without a huge strategic plan. You don't have to conquer the world to have a very, very sound business model on Internet of Things. And maybe, Matthew, that's exactly, I think, part of the message for the riot down at HQ is that be clever, because there is so many ways to automate things with wireless connectivity. See, I'm promoting wireless stuff, so I have to, you know, hunker on horn here. But, you know, putting the intelligence into some of the basic devices can have a return on investment that a lot of people never thought of before. And I'm sure if we talk to the average person, do you think there's a return on investment on a smart garbage can, they will probably look at you like there isn't. But Bianca can defend that in terms of the business model is actually a successful business model. So think in terms of, you know, it doesn't have to be the most dramatic or consumer-driven product. It can be so many different vertical applications, so many different markets. So,
you know, I think that's a great point. A big thing that we see is any problem can be solved by throwing technology at it. Any technological problem can be solved by throwing money at it. But what really comes down to it is if there is a business problem that's out there where there is a financial return on being able to solve that. So again, the investment up front was a lot more expensive than a traditional garbage can, but you guys were able to see the long-term payoff. I assume that Big Belly kind of came along and helped you guys see what other agencies and other municipalities, the kind of return they were getting, and so you guys were able to plug your own numbers in, or would they leave it up to you to figure it out?
Well, they have some sort of, you know, so they definitely have case studies from other cities, so we were, you know, able to think about that. Where they really helped us out was thinking about how to deploy them, you know, how many would we need perhaps, and also with the signage, because with the recycling part of it, that was brand new to us, because our pedestrian recycling was so very limited. So we were able to really use Big Belly's experience with other cities to think about what that messaging needed to be on the panels. And they also just sort of helped us think about, you know, how many to deploy. But we also used our own information on, you know, how often we were picking up and where our cans were.
See, that's a really good point, because I think, you know, the technology is only part of the solution. The marketing, the signage, some of the other things that you mentioned just now that turn out to be critical in communicating to the public and to getting the maximum use out of the solution. All of those are the things that, again, the technology is only part of what makes the solution go, but Big Belly as a partner came in and helped kind of guide those decisions and even bring up those questions for you guys to be able to understand and answer. And I think that's one of the things that's really important about choosing a technology vendor, or even better, a technology partner, is those kind of partners, instead of just coming in and offering a technology, can give you those kinds of case studies, can give you those kinds of ROI calculations, can help you not just see that it's cool, but see why it's going to make a positive difference in the community. So that's, you know, the really important thing to look for in a partnership.
That's a good point. One thing I think that's kind of interesting is that some of this is visible and so much of it is not. Like the the device talking to the cloud server, I mean, that's invisible. Our driver doesn't even see that. He just sees that final piece, which is the email. But at the same time, the boxes themselves are very visible. They're large. You can't ignore their presence when you're walking down Glenwood South. And so another thing Big Belly was able to do was, help us work with the merchants, particularly in Glenwood South, to say, hey, this is this new thing. It's going to be in front of your bar. And we really also worked with them to help them, think about how that was going to change the landscape and make sure it was something they felt comfortable with. And in the end, they were excited about it. They have seen now how it improves the landscape and makes the whole area a nicer place for their customers.
Another quick point I wanted to make, and maybe Matthew could jump in on this, is that, and we've talked about this, Mark and I have in previous shows on the DNA of the Internet of Things, and that is that there are so many professionals out there that can do this from a turnkey point of view. So don't be afraid of the lack of familiarity with the specific technology, whether it's cloud services, whether it's wireless connectivity, whether it's user interface. And again, that's, I think, the point of the riot, is that we want to bring people together that help can facilitate the ideas. And I think the city of Raleigh is a perfect example of how they went to professionals. And they deferred to the, not deferred, but they enabled the professionals to do their job. And now they have a commercial success. Is that kind of the audience we're trying to attract?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's amazing the amount of talent that we've got here in the Triangle area, as far as intellectual property, as far as the Wireless Research Center and the services that you guys offer, as far as some of the incubators and startups. So, I mean, someone could come along with something as simple as an idea and have all the technological help that they need, all of the business help that they need, or someone could come along with the technology already done. And again, I mean, just the resources that are available in the Raleigh, Durham, Wake Forest, Chapel Hill area, based on some of the other companies that have been here in the past and have moved on and left both technical and personnel that really understand how that whole Internet of Things DNA and infrastructure works. So it's a really rich area here.
I think it's, really time for Raleigh to go ahead and plant its flag, right? And to say, we want to own this. We want this region to be the center of Internet of Things, the new world. We want people to feel like if you have an idea, you don't have to be left out. You can come to the triangle or the rectangle, as Larry likes to say, and you're going to have enough support here to actually be able to develop the product and actually get it out and commercialize it. I think that, is that not the point? Is that we are really putting down that flag?
That's a great point, and definitely part of the mission of Riot. That was the big surprise for me, is that I put the first meetup out there not knowing what to expect, and instantly this giant network of people emerges coming out of the woodwork saying, oh my gosh, I've been working on this for 10 years.
Well, tell us about that first one. What happened?
It was a little bit of envy. So there was
it's riot envy.
That's right. My company, Step Leader, we've been building apps for 10 years. Mm-hmm. We build them for TV stations. That's what we do. And you can see the wheels turning, like, how is this Internet of Things at all, right? So we have captured as much of that market as we are going to. And we've spent the last year experimenting with new ideas and new things we can do. There was a point in time where we were testing out more Internet of Things type of business ideas. I saw a tweet from somebody on the West Coast saying we're holding our Internet of Things meetup, and the first thing that goes through my mind is, well, why can't we do that? Mm-hmm. So I'm just the poor sap who decided to host an Internet of Things here in North Carolina and put it out there, and said the response was fantastic, getting it back from people saying, oh my gosh, let's meet, let's talk, we've got so much to say.
And the kinds of people who were there represented what kinds of businesses or not businesses?
It was everything from the tinkerer, mm-hmm. Who has been working with Raspberry Pi in their spare time, just building their own devices, all the way from Cisco and Red Hat to the guy and the gal with the idea and everything in between.
So there were IP lawyers probably in the room?
There were a couple.
There were probably some testing facility kind of guys in the room.
I missed it.
Oh, yes. No,
I was out of town to have a defendable position there, but I did miss it. I saw it. I missed it. And
you didn't send a rep to show up?
Larry comes to me afterwards and says, Matthew, why aren't we working on this together? And I'm like, hey, great idea.
Yeah, we have all the tools, right? All the moving parts, mm-hmm. the mechanical stuff that's really needed to be done. And this is a good way to facilitate and communicate to the Riot community that there are professionals available and let us help you take it forward in a quick fashion. And not be intimidated again by the technology, whether it's hardware, software, or even just a business concept.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is so new, you couldn't just open up the Yellow Pages or go to Google and do a search for someone to help you get your product.
Well, and they probably don't think of it as Internet of Things. I'm sure, Bianca, that when Raleigh bought this, they didn't say, oh, we're finally investing in the Internet of Things.
We're going to get some MDM stuff.
That was not a phrase I heard in any of the meetings back in 2012.
Exactly. So it's really kind of a matter of helping to educate people who do have an idea about how to connect this to that, but they're not necessarily thinking of it as the Internet of Things. They're just coming up with an idea, right?
That's right.
Solving a business problem.
Yeah.
So, Bianca, do we have any more smart devices coming to the city of Raleigh?
Well, you know, trash is my business. So, you know, if it's trash or recycling, I've got my tip on it. But I don't know so much about other devices. But I think, you know, what Raleigh likes to do is, you know, we like to hear from tech leaders and startups about things that can help us provide better services to our citizens. So I'm sure we'll see some other exciting collaborations in the future.
Yeah, I know some of the stuff they're working on are wireless internet backup, some ability to remotely control the HVAC and some of the other facilities that are more remote that don't have a wired internet connection. So they're turning to wireless to be able to find ways to extend their ability to control the smaller, more remote sites, a boathouse, for instance, or a really small facility that doesn't have a wired connection out there. So those are some of the other ways that we know the city is looking at that Internet of Things and connected technology.
There are rumors floating around as well that there's going to be smarter parking.
Oh, good.
What does that mean? Or can't you?
I wish I knew more.
In San Francisco, what smarter parking means is when you pay at a pay station, everyone else has an app, and so that app that they're running on their smartphone will tell you when someone's leaving a pay station so that you can navigate directly to an available parking space. So the advantage is you park faster, lower carbon emission, lower time spent circling the block looking for a parking spot, higher customer satisfaction for you because you parked in 5 minutes instead of 15.
Right.
So that's the way the solution works in San Francisco. Whether looking at a similar solution here or not, I can't really say, but I know that's how some of those smart parking solutions work. They work with the pay stations so that when a spot comes available, you're alerted as an end user on your smartphone, and you can go straight to an empty spot.
And all of this is wireless?
All of this, of course. The pay stations are wireless. They got to process your credit card. They got to yell out to an application server to let folks know where that available server is. And then your handset on your app is going to be logged into that same application server to show you on that map where to go park.
Yeah, and in Baltimore, they do parking lots based on sensors. So they can tell you which floor has an open place in
there
it.
You go.
So that's pretty cool. And they can drive you directly in parking lots directly to where the opening is.
It's amazing.
And these could be a variety of wireless connectivities. Again, they could be a Zigbee radio. Mm-hmm. It could be a Wi-Fi connection. It could be Bluetooth. And it could, of course, be our best friend cellular. But
probably a combination.
A combination of all the above.
So likely there's a small personal area network or a radio network for Wi-Fi or Zigbee, like you say, an industrial connection that has some kind of sensor at the actual site or the parking spot that's talking to the pay station. And then the pay station probably has the one cellular connection, so it's probably handling dozens or several dozen individual parking spots. And then the pay station probably collects all that data and then sends it to that server for processing. Again, it's all speculation here, but that's how I would design
it as
the architect.
And again, we see a lot of that different technology, and from our point of view, an antenna and a radio is one and the same, depending upon spectrum. We navigate quite a different number of platforms here at the Wireless Center, and with our partners who are very familiar with these different connectivity capabilities. So if people have ideas and they're not sure which radio they should use or how the radio is going to be best utilized, again, from all the way from a beacon to a body sensor to a cellular connection. That's a very familiar territory for us, so the wireless center. And for some of the people who are going to present, like device solutions and connected development at the Riot on at the HQ on the 30th of September.
Yeah, I think we've really gotten some people's juices flowing here. I think we've got people thinking about, well, what could we do? Okay, if we can do garbage cans, we can do anything. So it's been a great show. I really want to thank everybody for being here. I thank you for your time and helping us know more about what's going on in this world of the DNA and back to the D in our everyday lives. So thanks very much to everybody. Thanks to Larry, to Matt, to Mark, and to Bianca. And this is Andrew Valpetcher signing off. Until next time.